Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, we'll continue our study in the life of Joseph. Life of Joseph. Last week in our study, we saw that Joseph had revealed himself to his brethren, and that's when they realized that he was the sovereign ruler, the monarch over all of Egypt, only answerable to Pharaoh. And they realized that this was their long-lost brother who they had at one time hated without a cause. And they proved their hatred towards him by selling him into slavery when he was only 17 years old. And as a result of hearing this news of who he was, they were afraid. And then we saw the joy of Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. A.W. Pink says that's such a picture of Christ revealing himself to his people. And though they were troubled at first, Joseph's brothers began to rejoice with him, fellowshipping and talking with him after he spake these words to him from verse 5. Look at Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. He says, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." So Joseph now sees the whole purpose and plan of God in that which befell him. And look at Joseph's words in verse 7 and 8 as well of Genesis chapter 45. "And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." So we see Joseph here tells his brothers not to be angry with themselves for what they had done, and he declares the sovereignty of God in the situation that befell him, and all that's followed afterwards. And he tells them, knowing that it was God's sovereign plan for this to occur, that all this happened, and that it was God who sent him down to Egypt to preserve life, to preserve their lives. Let's look today at Genesis chapter 8, or Genesis chapter 45, and we'll look at verses 8 to 24, but first let's look at verses, we'll do it in sections here. Let's look at verses 8 to 10 right now. "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." So again, he sees the sovereignty of God in the situation. "And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house." He's only answerable to Pharaoh, beloved. "And a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast." So we see that Joseph tells his brethren to make haste, to quickly go to their father and say unto him, "Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." Tarry not. Now think upon this. By the time Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he'd been ruler over all of Egypt for more than 9 years. For more than 9 years. There'd been 7 years of plenty, and now they were 2 years into the famine. They were 2 years in the famine, the second year of the famine. And we don't know how long Joseph desired to reveal himself to his brethren to tell them what God had done for him and in him. But some things we do know are that Joseph had the Spirit of God dwelling in him. And he knew that it was God who had sent him down to Egypt. He knew that. We see that in his very words. He knew that. He'd been taught that by God. And he knew that the 7 years of plenty had come, and he knew that there would be 7 more years of famine, and he knew that this was all ordained by God. He knew that as well. He knew that. He trusted and rested in the same God that we trust and rest in, our great Savior. And we see a picture with Joseph and his brethren of how Christ, our heavenly Joseph, reveals himself to his people at the appointed time, at God's appointed time. Our Savior spoke these words, turn if you would to John 17, our Savior spoke these words in the high priestly prayer. In his high priestly prayer, he glorifies his Father by giving eternal life to as many as the Father gave him. And who are they? Well, they're the ones who we'll look at this morning in the morning's message. They're the children of promise. They're the children of promise. Look at this, John 17, verses 1 to 5. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Right there, what a statement. Christ has power over all flesh. Whether people believe it or not, our great Savior is absolutely sovereign, and he has power over all flesh. And we know he also has power over all things, visible and invisible. That's the one who saved us. And remember, weak and weary pilgrim like myself, that's the one who keeps us. That's the one who keeps us, beloved. He keeps us. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now you see the tie-in there. Christ has all power to give eternal life to as many as what? As many as the Father has given him. And like I said, this morning's message is all about the children of promise. And that ties right in there. Right in there. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God sent his Son into this world. He sent his Son into this world. And then look what the Lord says. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. It's done. It's finished. And he's going to go to the cross, and he's going to cry what? It is finished. It's done. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So notice it says in verse 2 there, and thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He reveals himself to those the Father gave him. Just like Joseph. See, Joseph is a picture of our heavenly Joseph. And when he reveals himself to his brethren, it's a picture. Because remember, all the Egyptians were told to leave the room. And Christ only revealed himself to his brethren. Joseph only revealed himself to his brethren, which is a picture of Christ. He reveals himself to his people, to his brethren, and not to anyone else. It's marvelous. And who does he reveal himself to? All that the Father hath given him. All of them. And notice that too. It's all of them. It's all of them. He should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. My. So let this warm your soul, you who are the redeemed of the Lord. Our sovereign Lord knows when it is the appointed time, when it's the appointed time for him to reveal himself to those that he purchased with his precious blood. And when that appointed time comes, that time of love, nothing can stop him from accomplishing what he has purposed. Nothing. Nothing. And take note that right after Joseph reveals himself to his brethren, that he sincerely desires to see his father now. He hasn't seen his father since he was 17 years old. And he's in his 30s now. My. And when we witness to members of our own family or to our neighbors, our friends, or our co-workers, we are not to tell them what we've done for Christ. No, no, no. But we're to tell them the great things the Lord has done for us. What he's done for us. What has Jesus Christ done for us, for we who are his people? Well, he walked upon this earth and he perfectly honored God's law in our place. And he established a perfect righteousness. That's when he said, I've finished the work. He established the perfect righteousness for us, beloved. In addition, by the supreme sacrifice of himself, by the shedding of his precious blood, he has obtained eternal redemption for us. He's done this. He's obtained it. We could never obtain eternal redemption. We can't pay for any sins that we've committed. But he paid for all ours. And then the Lord's risen from the grave, hasn't he? He's entered into heaven. And he now appears in the presence of God for his people. And our suffering Savior, he laid down his life. And when he laid down his life, remember that he completely satisfied all that God demanded in our place. Everything. Satisfied. Completely. My, what a Savior. And let us also think of what Christ has done. He came to us. Think of this. He came to us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Right? We didn't seek him out. Now we were made willing in the day of his power. We didn't seek him out. Just like that. Just how I love Luke 15 where the shepherd, he goes and seeks that lost sheep. When he finds him, he puts him on his neck, carries him home. What a picture. He sought us out, beloved. That's what he's done for us. He sought us out. Oh, he sought us out. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we were despising him and despising his gospel, he sought us out. And he came to us when we had absolutely no desire to come to him. No desire to come to him. He came to us. Then consider what Jesus Christ has done in us. He broke the stubborn, rebellious will that was within us, didn't he? He made us willing in the day of his power to come to him. And he took away the unregenerate, stony heart that was within us. And put in us a new heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, the scripture says. My. And he gave us true saving faith, didn't he? To believe on him. And what else did he do? He put his unfathomable love in us. He put his unfathomable love in us. Oh my. Put new desires in us, new motives in us. And it's God who has worked all these things and so much more in us. And he continues to work in us, doesn't he? Yeah, we're being conformed to the image of Christ, the scripture says. We're growing in the grace and knowledge and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all according to his will and according to his good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? It's absolutely wonderful. And these are some of the great things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And we tell others, he saved my soul. He saved my soul by the giving of his life. So Joseph tells his brothers to tell their father and his loved ones, come down unto me and tarry not. Don't tarry. And think upon this. The only hope they had to survive the famine that God had bought upon the land was to go to Joseph. There was no other way to survive that famine but to go to Joseph. And he was the only one who could supply them with the food that he needed or that they needed to make it through the famine. He was the only one. Well, there's only one who provides salvation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nowhere else to go but Christ. And this is the message we have for our unsaved loved ones. You must humble yourselves before God. You must come down from the lofty pedestal that we that our sinful pride has put us in. We must trust Christ. And we do that when we're made willing in the day of God's power. Brother Henry Mahan says, the way up, or the way down is the way up. We humble ourselves before our great God. Right? My. There's absolutely no hope of forgiveness, no hope of God's mercy, no hope of eternal life, no hope of heaven if we don't fall down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't come to Him through the gift of God's faith and believe on Him as He's plainly set forth in the Scriptures, there's no hope for a sinner outside of Christ. None. So we see then that Joseph told his brothers to take the good news back to their father. Take the good news back to our father. Take it back. And to also to all the members of the household, right? To all the members of the household. And then he told them to bring them all down to Egypt. My, oh my. Let's look at verse 10 one more time before we go on to our next verse. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, as thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. Joseph told them that they would dwell in the land of Goshen, where they would be near to him. Near to him. The Hebrew word for Goshen is defined as drawing near. Drawing near. It's said of one older grace preacher that the land of Goshen could easily typify the places where God's saints meet together for public worship. Could typify that. Where they draw near to Christ, praising Him in corporate worship and rejoicing in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And under the preaching of the gospel is where the Lord Jesus Christ reveals Himself to His loved ones. To His loved ones. It's where He nourishes us. It's where He feeds us. Where He strengthens us. Where He encourages us. Where He builds us up in the faith. All through the preaching of the gospel. All through the preaching of the gospel. And think also upon this, when we absence ourselves from the appointed times of public worship, we're often robbing ourselves of that spiritual nearness that our Lord has ordained for us. And we deprive ourselves of spiritual nourishment that's so vital to our eternal soul, so vital to our spiritual being. That's, with that in mind, let's read Genesis chapter 45, verses 11 to 15. And there will I nourish thee in the land of Goshen. Oh, in the land of Goshen. And yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes, the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Only the grace of God has made Joseph the man that he is when we see in the text here. His brothers sold him into slavery. And this isn't, you know, when slavery was brutal back then. And they were treated like almost just a little bit above animals, slaves were. And look at this. He told them, God sent me down, but look at the grace that's flowing through him in the sense in the love that he has for his brethren. He's forgot all the wrong that they've done to him. He said, don't be troubled. And look at how he embraces them. So not only is the love that he has in his heart for his brethren manifested by his words, but now by his actions. That he truly has forgiven them. He's embracing them. He loves his brethren. This is a miracle of grace, beloved. And we see that Joseph told them to bring Jacob and all his family down unto him so that he could nourish them all through the remaining years of the famine. Our Lord takes care of us while we're here on this earth, doesn't he? And there's a famine of the Word of God right now in this world. And you have places where you can come and hear the gospel and rejoice. But it's not everywhere. And I can see how that older brother brought out how Goshen is a picture of the church. It's a refuge. It's an oasis for us. And we're nourished and fed by the Lord through the preaching of His Word. Let's read verses 16 to 24 now. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lade your beasts, and go get you into the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do, take ye the wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. My. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after the manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way, totally provided for. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that ye fall not out by the way. So we see here, by Pharaoh's actions in sending the wagons, saying, Take the wagons, take whatever you need, that Joseph was admired and highly respected by Pharaoh and by his servants. And Joseph's fame, which is the news of Joseph's brothers, pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. So God had met, you remember the Israelites when they leave Egypt? And remember when they spoil Egypt because God showed favor in their eyes? And they were given their gold and their silver and everything just to take it. It's the same thing going on here. God is having the Egyptians show favor to the Israelites. It just shows you his sovereign power, his almighty power over all things. And think upon this. What they did not see nor acknowledge was this. Joseph was God's man. He was God's man sent from Jehovah himself, the one and only true and living God. And they did not see that Joseph typified Christ. They didn't see that. They didn't see that. And he typified the coming promised Messiah who would save his people from all their sins. He typified that. And provide them with what? What does Christ provide us with? All we need. All we need. Joseph provided everything they needed. For the trip down to Canaan and for the trip back. And then everything was going to be fried. They were going to eat out of the fat of Israel, the best of Egypt. All provided for them. All provided for them, beloved. And they did not see that. Joseph was God's man. How do we know this? Well, it's proven by their continual worship of their imaginary false gods. They were blind to the things, to the God that Joseph worshiped. The Egyptians were blind to that, and they still worshiped their imaginary gods, but yet God showed favor in the eyes of the Egyptians to Joseph and his family by his sovereign power. And note that the command came from Pharaoh that Joseph was to send his brethren back to the land of Canaan and to bring his father and the rest of his family back to Egypt. And note also that the command was accompanied by that which would be needed. The command was accompanied by that which would be needed for their trip. Wagons for the women and children to ride in. Provisions. And look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. We see that Pharaoh told Joseph to tell his family not to regard their stuff. Don't even regard your stuff. Look at that. Also, regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. Don't worry about the stuff you've accumulated. Just leave it behind. Just leave it behind. Because everything would be provided for them. Everything would be provided for them. And all the good of the land of Egypt was to be theirs. And we see that Joseph obeyed the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. And we know that Pharaoh's word, his promise to Joseph and his loved ones, was as good as himself. Was as good as himself. Is this not a clear picture of the promise of God, the Father, to his Son, and to all the family of those who are loved by our Lord Jesus Christ? We see in the story of when King David sent and fetched Mephibosheth. Remember when David sent and fetched Mephibosheth? Over there in 1 Samuel chapter 9, he sent and fetched Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth was in Lodabar, which means pastureless. Pastureless. The land of no bread. That's where he was. Beloved, that's where we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we were in the land of no bread, weren't we? In our natural state. And then the command comes from David to go and fetch Mephibosheth. You know why? Because he was a covenant child. But as a result of a fall, he was lame. He was lame. But Mephibosheth, or King David says, go and fetch Mephibosheth. Bring him down to my house. And he was a helpless man. He was lame from a fall, so there's no way for him to get there on his own. So David sends some down to fetch him. And Mephibosheth had no power or desire to see David because the house of Saul. David had just took over the throne of Saul. And Mephibosheth was the grandson of Saul. Which normally, when a king took over, they wiped out whoever came behind him. But Mephibosheth didn't know that Jonathan, his father, had made a covenant with David before he was even born. That David would have mercy on the household of Jonathan. He had no idea. And that impotent, helpless man, Mephibosheth, David sent servants to fetch him, which typifies all of God's covenant children. Right? Holy Spirit, he comes and fetches us, doesn't he? He does. And Mephibosheth was made willing in the day of the king's power. He was bought before David. And you know what the words David spoke to him? Listen to these wonderful words. Fear not. for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Fear not. Is that not what the Father says to us in Christ? Fear not. Does he not have mercy on us for Christ's sake? Because of a covenant that they made in eternity? Oh, it's wonderful. And Mephibosheth, he falls at the king's feet and he cries, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? That's every believer's cry, isn't it? Oh, Lord, you had mercy on me? Oh my. Yeah. Because of a covenant he made in eternity with the Son and with the Holy Spirit of God. And David fulfilled his covenant promise to Jonathan as long as he was alive. And as long as he was on the throne of power. Who's alive right now? And who's on the throne of power? Our great Savior, beloved. Our great Savior. And he lives forevermore. Oh my. Mephibosheth had nothing to fear as long as David was alive. Oh my, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? We have nothing to fear. Our Savior's in glory, alive, risen, risen and alive. And in our text in Genesis 45, we read where the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for their way. And Joseph directed his brothers according to the instructions of Pharaoh, providing them with enough provisions for both trips, for the trip down to Canaan, and for the trip back from Canaan. For all the women and children to ride in, for everyone. For everyone. And notice in verse 21 and 24 that not only did Joseph give them wagons at the king's command, but he gave them, again, all the provisions that they would need, also including changes of raiment. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of men of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. Has not our Lord provided for us for the way until we get home to be with him? He has, and he still does, doesn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To all of them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Oh my. And we tell our friends and our family the great things that the Lord had done for us, and that he's had compassion on us, don't we? He's had compassion on us. And how our Heavenly Father has put all things into the hands of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. His darling Son, as one fellow grace preacher says, his darling Son. I love that. And he's given us a change. Now, he's given us a change of raiment, hasn't he? And that, see the picture there too? He's given us a change of raiment. He's taken our filthy rags of our own self-righteousness off us, hasn't he? And he's clothed us in the righteousness of Christ. Oh my. What pictures we see here. What pictures we? We're clothed in this perfect, spotless righteousness. Listen to the scriptures declare, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. My, oh my, if you believe on the Son, rejoice. Rejoice, because you're one of the covenant children of our great God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to look into thy word. And oh, how the Old Testament shows us pictures of thee, Lord Jesus. And oh, how Joseph is a picture of thee, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to look into the scriptures, giving us an understanding. We pray that we could take away things from the messages today and that they would comfort our souls all through the week, oh Lord. Let us think upon the wondrous truths that we've looked at. We love you. We who are your people love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name.